Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
Psalm 122 and verse 1 in the Bible says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Can we just all say that verse together as a corporate church this morning and read it together? Father, we thank you for the word today, God. I pray that you minister through me. God, minister to the ears that are hearing today. God, I pray that you would allow me to preach this better than I preached at first service. God, I pray that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done today. Break every backbone of sickness, depression, disease, depravity, addiction. God, I pray that you would do what only you can do by the power of your name. We thank you for it, God, and we forever give you praise in the precious name of Jesus. And the people said amen. Hey, you know how we do it around here? I want you to go find somebody, high five them and say, it's all in the house because you're here. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. David said here, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to church. Are you glad today when you came to church? Were you glad when they said unto you, when your alarm said, hey, get up, it's time to come to church? Were you glad this morning? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, let your face catch up to how you feel. How many of y'all was glad when they said unto you, let's go to church, it's church day? Well, all right. So here David is saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I, as your pastor, want to build the kind of church by the grace of God that people want to come to. I want to have a church that is reaching lost people from all different types of demographic groups, from all different age groups. What's wrong, honey? Are you trying to tell me something? Okay, she's doing sign language to me. We're trying to reach all different kinds of people. Old, middle-aged, young, those who think they're young, but they're old, those who think they're old, but they're young. We're trying to reach all kinds of people, age-wise, gender-wise, color-wise, racial-wise. We are trying to reach all kinds of people. And I'm a firm believer that when God calls a person or a entity to raise up a church, then he's going to put core values on the inside of that church to be the kind of church people want to go to. I've been to churches, Ryan, before. I was like, please, I cannot wait till this is over. Get me out of here. It was dead. It was flat. There was no anointing. There was no power. There was no push. There was no joy. There was no victory. There was no happiness. It was more like a morgue than it was a church. I'm not trying to build that kind of church. I want to build the church that people want to come to, right? And so I've been teaching you in this series that God gives a church core values, and when they push on those core values long enough and sustain them, then that becomes the culture of the church. And so here at LifeGate Church, he has given us core values that are at the heartbeat of this church, and they're all beating to do one thing. That one thing is to push the vision, the mission statement, whatever you want to call it, the purpose statement, which is reaching people, building people, and pursuing Jesus. We want to reach people that want to be reached. Amen? We want to build people that are already in the faith. That's what we're called to do. Every message that comes out of this church, listen, we are not trying to condemn people to hell. We already live under that bubble anyway. We know we do wrong. Come on, somebody. We know we don't do things right all the time. Talk to me in here, right? But we want you to leave this place being built and edified by the word of God and the preaching of the word, right? Even when we go to talk about sin and issues that may not make us comfortable all the time, you should leave here built in your faith, leaving to want to do better. Every message should make you feel built, should make us reaching somebody, and should, number three, we're pursuing Jesus. Listen around here, we are radical, fanatical, in love with God. We love Jesus. We are pursuing Jesus. Our praise says so. Our preaching says so. Our people say so. We love God around here. And so he's given us some core values to push on. Let's all say this together. We are people of our word. Say this one with me. We are people of honor. And I think I need to preach on number three now today, right? Because this is second service. All right, number three, we are outside of the box. We are forward thinking in the way that we do church. We are willing to push the boundaries and think creatively to spread the message of Christ. We are called as a church to reach all people, but if we don't focus on children and students and millennials, we will have a church that will one day die. We do not want the average age in our church 50. We want the average age in our church 5. We are trying to build a church that is reading the signs of the time to be able to communicate to the children of this world. If we don't reach the children of today, there will be no church tomorrow. So we got to do church creatively. We think outside the box. We are on social media. We are on television. We are streaming services because we are thinking outside the box. We do not think the internet is the devil, by the way. We think it is a propeller for the church to preach and propagate the news of God because we are a church that's outside the box. Look at your neighbor and say, you better get outside. So we really believe that just because something doesn't have Jesus attached to it, that it ain't all bad. We believe that we can find sacred things in the secular world and redeem them for the cause of Christ. You won't hear me preach around here that Halloween is the devil's day, because we believe around here the devil don't get a day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So we redeem the time. We have trunk or treat around here where we give the kids candy, have a hay rack, cry, make some snores, because we at church that's outside the box. Christmas ain't a pagan holiday neither. Christmas is the day we put up trees, celebrate each other, and give gifts and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Easter bunny hopping around here around Easter time because we outside the box. But let me just tell you right now, that's not the focus. The focus is there is a Jesus that came into this earth, that died upon an old rugged cross and was buried in the borrowed tomb of a Joseph of Arimathea. But on Resurrection Day, he came out the grave. Look at your neighbor, say outside the box. Look at the person behind you, say we outside the box. We say it different, we live it different. I'm gonna preach it different. We are LifeGate Church, and we are a church that's outside the box. We're gonna kick the walls down. We're gonna kick the walls down, and we're gonna come outside the box and let a generation see there's a church that can do it right. Look at somebody, say, get outside. All right, stand to your feet. Come on, let's say this core value together. We are outside the box, and we're going to say this phrase together as a church. Y'all ready? One, two, three, go.
We are outside the box. We are forward-thinking.
Look at somebody, say, all that's in the house. No, number four, you can be seated if you can stand it. I feel the anointing of God so strong in this room, I feel like I'm about to explode. Number four, we are audacious in our faith. We believe that God will do, we really believe that God will do what God said he would do, the way that God said he would do it. When we speak, we believe that heaven comes and invades this natural realm. We are audacious. We are bold about Jesus. We are bold about our praise. We are bold about our worship. You don't have to come and confront us about nothing, baby. We are in pursuit of Jesus with a crazy kind of faith. We like to tell about him, how he saved us, how he changed us, how he mended us, how he delivered us. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. Look at somebody and say, we are audacious. We believe that when we pray, he answers. We believe that when 22 financial banking institutions tell LifeGate Church no, that there will be a 23rd that tells LifeGate Church yes. We'll keep knocking on the door until the door swings open, because we have audacious faith. We believe in divine healing. We believe when we pray, heaven answers. We believe when we lay hands on the sick, they do recover, because we have audacious faith. Look at your neighbor and say, I command the faith of God to get up inside of you. Come on, stand up with me. Stand up with me. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. Some of you came in this room with no faith, but that thing's about to change this morning. Some of you came in here with more doubt than faith, but faith is about to arise. I double dog, triple dog dare you to lift your hands up in the air and say, we are a people of audacious faith. Come on now, say, I am a person of audacious faith. Everything you have need of is in the house, and faith is activated. Doubt is gone. God is getting up in you, and you will see the promises of God. Slap your neighbor and say, it's all in the house. Oh, I feel like preaching in here today. Faith in God will do for you what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It will change you. Faith will do for you what it did for Daniel in the lion's den. It'll change that lion's den into a petting zoo. Faith will do for you what it did for Noah when he was in the ark. It turned a storm into a luxury cruise liner. Faith in God will cool the fevered brow in an infant child in the middle of the night. Faith in God will turn the devil's no into God's yes. Faith. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to have faith, and it's all in the house. Come on, give him praise before you're seated. Hallelujah. I feel sorry for the first service. It should have been his second service. Number five, we are a world-class people. Through excellence, we show the brilliance and greatness of our God. We are punctual people. Can we just say that together? We are punctual people. Can y'all say that? Ooh, I love it. We are top notch. We are all in. We are punctual, top notch, and all in. I have to give some fleeces on this point because I know how church people be. Excellence is not perfection. Nobody in this room is perfect. You can't be perfect. You won't be perfect. And if we all know the truth about you, which we probably do, we know you ain't perfect. We all got some stuff that we're trying to clean up about ourselves, right? Perfection and excellence is not the same thing. Excellence is taking what God puts in your hand and do the best with it. Come on. I didn't go to church because I was lazy. That's not excellence. You ain't doing the best with what God puts in your hand, but showing up on time, being here early, showing up to serve, being the very best member of LifeGate Church you can be, picking up the trash, straightening the rows, looking presentable is being a person of excellence. The world don't listen. The world is tired of a church that's broke down, crooked, and wrinkled. The world is looking for a church that's going to do things with some integrity. When they show up, they look right, they act right, they talk like they got some sense. The world is going to pick on an excellent church where the stuff is painted, where the stuff is hanging order, where the lights are on, where the bills are paid. We are a top-notch church, one of excellence. Justin told me, he said, Pastor, that light bulb that's out is irritating the mess out of me. I thank God we got people like Justin in our church that can see a broke light bulb and say, that bothers me, because we are top notch. We are excellent. We are. Oh, yeah. Psalm 8 and verse 9. Listen, how many want to be like Jesus? Let me see your hand. I want to be like him. Look what your Bible said in Psalm 8 and 9. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent. Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. People get in their cars and drive clear across country to go to the Grand Canyon to stare for hours at the majestic beauty of God's excellence when he carved like a whittler whittling wood. When he carved that wood, that whittling canyon through the Grand Canyon at the breath of his nostrils, at the blast of a word, let there be, and there was the Grand Canyon. People will travel from miles all around to go to the Colorado Rockies, and they stand there gazing at the excellence of our Lord with their breath taking away. They will go up here and they will purchase a $5,000 telescope to bring home and gaze at the beauty and the excellence of God's stars and creation. Honey, if God is an excellent God, then he is calling his church to be an excellent people. We don't do things halfway around here. I'm just telling you. We don't do things backwards around here. We either going to do it right or we ain't doing it. It's either going to sound right or we ain't doing it. Because we are top notch, excellent, world class. It's who we are. It's how we roll. And that settles it. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Look at somebody behind you and say, he's talking to me. Look at somebody on the other side and say, he's talking to himself. We are world-class people. Now, listen. Now, I iron my clothes. My wife doesn't do it. Gentlemen, that's not your wife's not your maid. You can learn to iron your own clothes. The lady should have said something right there. That's all right. I iron my clothes. If I go to a meeting with somebody of importance and value, I'm not wearing my skinny jeans and my sneakers. Right? I didn't show up at that wedding last night in skinny jeans and sneakers. I wore my skinny suit and my wingtip shoes. Some of y'all never see me in no suit. You should have been there last night. I was in a full-fledged suit and looking good in it too. That's what my wife said. She said, I can't wait to get you home. That's what she said to me. I was like, hey. I'm trying to lead a ceremony here, honey. Excellence is not something I do as a pastor. It's who I am. I'm a kingdom kid, right? And so I want to reflect him wherever I go. Come on, somebody. If I don't look presentable, I throw a hat on and I put my shades on and act like I'm not who I am. I just kind of go. I hurry through the Walmart, you know. But I'm an excellent person, so my life is in order because kingdom has come to me. Because kingdom has come to me, things are in order all around me. I don't like things out of order, out of place, because his kingdom is excellent. His kingdom has come to me, and we're going to have an excellent church. But, look at your neighbor and say, but. If somebody walks through these doors, they got dirt in their beard. They was sleeping on the bridge, out under a bridge last night. And they got holes in their pants, and they got two wrong shoes on, one that don't match on their feet, and their breath stinks, and they smell. We ain't going to put them on the back row. We're going to wrap our excellent arms around them and show them what it looks like to come up higher. Come on, somebody. We will not be a church that makes anybody else feel uncomfortable. We're going to show them what a loving God looks like through some loving people. I dare you to slap your neighbor, high five, and say it. I grew up in a church. Haley, I grew up in a church. It wasn't like this one. We grew up. Let me see an order of service. Can I get one? Oh, it's right here. I got it right here. We have an order of service around here. See this? It says pre-service slideshow, 5-minute countdown, service intro, news, praise and worship video, praise and worship, services here, messages all in the house, offering, dismissal, post-slideshow. You say, how can the Holy Ghost move with such regiment? Well, I've learned that's not the right word. I didn't even say that right. Is it regiment? Is that the right word? Regiment. See, I knew. I caught myself. I'm thinking about tools. Rigid. Lifetime warranty. So please edit that out of the podcast because they don't pay me to say that. Okay. So I've had people tell me when I grew up, they said, well, Pastor, I'm going to move down here. I'm sorry. You might want to go to that camera. I was told all my life, Pastor, now listen. The Holy Ghost can't have an order if he's going to move. He has to just wing it. You got to just let him flow. Well, that's true because he's the Holy Ghost, but you ain't the Holy Ghost. And so for his church to be successful, it has to have some order in it. Paul the Apostle said, let everything be done in decency and in order. And in
order.
And in
order.
And in
order.
And in. What if you lived your life at your house with your children like, well, we just let everybody do whatever because we just winging it and we just free flowing. That devil is a liar. Them kids would be getting on everybody's nerves and terrorizing our kids' ministry back here. We got to have some order around here. God told Moses, he said, Moses, build me a tabernacle. He said, I'll build you a tabernacle, Lord. He said, but I want you to build me a tabernacle based on this floor plan that I give you. And so he gives him a whole book. Read the book of Leviticus. It's all about the length, the depth, the width, the height, what to use it out of. After Moses got done constructing that building, the Bible said the Shekinah, sorry if I spit on you. The Bible said that the Shekinah glory of the Lord then began to fall from heaven and consume that place. Honey, when you get a church that is a church church of excellence and you do things in order, then is when the glory comes. Then is when the fire comes. Then is when the power comes. We are a church that is top notch and world class. Come on, stand up on your feet. Let's say this together. Number five, ready? One, two, three, go. Say it one more time and go.
We are world class. Through excellence, we show the brilliance and greatness of God. We are cultural, top-notch, and
all in. Slap your neighbor and say, all that is in the house. Number six, we are naturally supernatural. We believe the gifts of heaven are available to all believers. And their demonstration is a natural extension of the Christian life. It is not weird. It is very powerful. Around here, we believe that God is still on the throne. We believe that God is still moving. We believe that when we lay hands on the sick, they do recover. We believe that we have the power to cast out the devil, out of a person, out of a church, out of a city, out of a region. We are naturally. We believe in divine healing, that addicts can be delivered. We believe in the signs, miracles, and wonders of the Holy God. We believe in laying hands on sick and watching healing manifest. We believe the Bible is 100% accurate in everything that it teaches because we are naturally. We believe that God created creation with a spoken word, and in 7 days he rested on that 7th day. We believe that God made man from the dust of the ground, pulled a rib out of him and made a woman. We believe that he really did walk on water. We believe he really did raise the dead. We really believe that a donkey spoke, a serpent, because we are naturally. We believe there's a revival coming to America that's going to hit coast to coast and like a burning flame in a dry land reach across this world. We believe in signs, miracles, wonders, deliverance, and power because we are naturally. We are naturally. We are naturally. We are tongue talking, demon question, faith healing, Bible toting, scripture quoting bunch of believers because we believe the supernatural book called the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. We are naturally. Look at your neighbor, say it's all in the house. Come on, get up on your feet, get up on your feet. Come on, we all gonna say this together. Core value number six and belief statement and go. It ain't weird. It ain't weird. It's powerful. Come on, you mean to tell me you believe in a God you never seen who was suspended between time and eternity on an old rugged cross and he died on a tree and buried in a tomb? You really believe that 3 days later he got up out of that grave and released the Holy Ghost? You believe that, but you won't believe healing? You believe that, but you won't believe deliverance? You believe we are naturally. Come on, slap somebody high five. Say it's all right here. It's all right here. All right, number seven, help me, Holy Ghost. Number seven, look, watch, watch, watch. We are all. You know what the Greek word is for all, Haley? It's all. Look at your neighbor and say, what's wrong with you? We are all on the bus. Huh. United, we purpose to fulfill the vision God has given us to accomplish. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You're not a spectator, LifeGate. Do you know that if you're not involved, you're a spectator? Yeah. Are you involved? Yeah. Or are you just riding the bus? We want you on the bus involved. Yeah. The wheels on the bus go. Well, the wipers on the bus say. Well, the wipers on. Come on. United, we. Y'all don't know what's in me altogether. You just don't know what's in me. I can rap, I can play, I can sing, I can preach, I can build, I can control. There ain't much I can do except for driving right. And every ounce of it goes to the house of God. Everything he, listen, I will drive with one foot, wash a window with another foot, build a room with another foot, play the guitar with one hand and a harmonica at the same time to bless his house. Because I'm on the bus, baby. We intentionally focus on where we agree. All hands are on deck. Take your hand and put it just like this. Reach over and touch that person right in front of you and say, I got your back. We are in this together. We are stronger together. We are a force when it's all of us. You see, a church that comes together produces something called synergy. And here at LifeGate Church, we have synergy. There is power when we come. I get to travel all the time. God has blessed me with that opportunity to do that. And in 2018, it's going to be a year where I'm going to be traveling more than I've ever traveled in my life. There's things that are in the making right now that are happening, and please keep me in prayer as we navigate through all these different changes, because one of the things we changed is I'm not traveling alone ever again after this year. We are requiring that the host church provides two tickets for your pastor to bring an assistant with him for accountability reasons, and because I don't like being on the road and stuck somewhere in a place I don't like. Because not every church is like LifeGate Church, I'm just telling you. Some churches I go to and I cannot wait to get back on the plane and come home. I've been to Mexico, to Canada, to Brazil, and to India. I have been in taxi cabs in all them countries except for Canada. I think I rode a bus. And I've only recently rode a taxi cab here in the United States. I started Ubering just for the fun of it, because you get all kinds of funny stories when you Uber. I'm telling you, every story I have about Uber is a pretty funny story. And I would tell you my last one, but he might be watching, and I don't want to offend him. But anyway, so when you get in a taxi cab, what I noticed about taxi cabs is you come with an idea or a mindset of where you want to go. When you go to get on a bus, you get on that bus understanding that it doesn't matter where you want to go. If you want to go somewhere else, you're on the wrong bus, because this bus is already taking instructions from headquarters and is headed a certain way, right? You can't change the culture of that bus company. That bus company already has a mapped out charted plan from headquarters on where that bus driver is supposed to take that bus. A lot of church people come to church with the mindset of a taxi cab theology, where they want to come and change the culture of the church, because, well, we're not going to give you any money until you take me where I want to go. But that's not the mindset of the kingdom. The mindset of the kingdom is to have a bus theology. It's the mindset that says the driver is reading a GPS system where heaven is downloading the instructions, because I'm not the head of this church. He's the head of this church, right? But I'm just driving it. I'm leading it. And the GPS system is telling me where to go, the spiritual GPS system. So what we're asking you to do as members of the church, honey, get on the bus, Gus. We ain't got to discuss much. You ain't got to be Croy Roy. Just get on and set yourself free. We need mechanics on the bus. We need window wipers on the bus. We need singers on the bus. We need organists on the bus. We need camera operators on the bus. You are the only you that can do what you do the way that you can do it. God did not send you here by coincidence. He sent you here to build synergy with his kingdom movement entitled LifeGate Church. We are all on the bus. Shout it with me. We are on the bus. Come on. We are on the bus. We are on the bus. Listen, we believe you have an individual anointing, but when you come through those doors, you must participate in corporate anointing. When we get together, we take our individual anointing. Look, watch. He's got an individual anointing to play this organ. I've got an individual anointing to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when he and I get synergy together, there is power when we come together and he helps me and I help him, and we are riding the bus together doing our part. Somebody say, it's all on the bus. And it's all in the house. Come on, stand up with me. Let's decree this together. I want to preach right here for a long time, but it's 11:12. And some of you got to take medicine at 12. Praise the Lord. Okay. Number 7 and purpose statement. Let's go.
We are all of us united
Reach up your hand just like this. Slap your neighbor, high five, and say, I'm with you and you're with me. It's all in the house. Number eight, we are a people of crazy love. Love. We love God regardless. We don't whisper love God and shout love people around here. We shout love God and we shout love people around here. We love God and people with a crazy kind of love. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is likened unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. We do not listen. We do not apologize for our radical love of God around here. We express them through our loud praise. We express them through our loud worship. We express them through our loud preaching. We believe what you really love inside, you'll express on the outside. If you got a problem with loud praise and worship, that means you got a problem with loving a powerful God. God around here. We love us some God around here. And we love people. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you. We love prostitutes around here. We love drug addicts around here. We love drug lords around here. We love gangbangers around here. We believe that black lives matter. We believe that police officers matter. We love everybody around here. White, black, brown, purple, green, left wing, right wing, Democrat, Republican, confused. We love us some people. The only ones we don't necessarily care about is those over-religious, bigoted, holier-than-thou, thinking they got everything together and their neighbor is broken. We believe around here in helping those who are broken and putting them in a place of healing. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. We are called to all the Humpty Dumpties of the world to wrap our arms around them and show them what a loving God looks like, because we love us some people around here. Come on, stand up on your feet. We're going to say this decree here in just a moment. I wrote this down. I think you need to hear it. We refuse to produce a culture that makes imperfect people uncomfortable to come to a perfect God. I want the worst of the worst, and says the outcast, to come in these doors and to feel like, man, these people love me. I don't know if Neil's still in here. Are you in here, Neil? There's Neil. Neil used to come back in our old building. We had lunch with the leaders, and all the guests would return and have lunch with us. And Neil came to every single one of them for like a year, and it was only supposed to be for first-time guests, but we didn't care because we loved Neil. And Neil said something to me. Listen, Neil said something to me that broke my heart, but rejoiced at the same time. We all went around and introduced ourselves and said something about ourselves. And Neil said, my name is Neil, and I just want you to know I never felt people love on me like this church does. I never felt so much love in my entire life. I'm not going anywhere because of the love. That's the testimony of Life Gate Church, that we love people regardless of any type of situation that they're in. Now, don't you misconstrue my words. I'm a good shepherd. And I will kick a Jezebel, a wolf, a snake, a rat out this church in a heartbeat, because they ain't allowed to hear, because they'll disrupt what God is doing. I'm as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Come on, somebody. If somebody wants to come through these doors and hurt you, I will get my spiritual AR and kick them right up out the church.
Oh, you shouldn't say that, pastor. Well, then you should go to a church where the pastor don't have a backbone. But this pastor has a backbone, and this pastor is concerned about your safety.
We don't just let everybody prophesy, everybody lay hands on everybody, because there could be a wolf in sheep's clothing, and I'm a pastor and a protective daddy, and I'm going to care for the flock that God has entrusted. All right, let's say it together. Here we go. One, two, three, go. Come on now, wrap your arms around somebody in a holy way. Now, if you're of the opposite sex, you can do a side hug and tell them, I love you so much because it's all up in this house. All right, number nine. Oh, Jesus, help me, somebody. We were teaching this class one time, and somebody said to me, I understand now why you do what you do. This all makes sense. This really is who LifeGate is. You can be seated for like 2 seconds because you get exercise around here. Number nine, We are a generous people. I'm going to go like this. Reach in your back pocket. I'm just kidding. We are generous people. Generosity runs through our DNA, whether it's money, time, or resources. We sow what God has given us to sow to accomplish the vision at LifeGate Church. We are not a greedy people. Come on, somebody. I mean, that's why we do Paper the Army. We for our first-time guests or those returning guests, every month on the first Sunday of the month is our Mission Sunday, and we receive an offering for missions to go somewhere. Last Mission Sunday was to Puerto Rico, and we were able to raise $500 to partner with Pastor Parsley and the network that we belong to, City Harvest Network, to send relief aid down there. And we are, listen, our network, listen to this, you guys. Our network has sent $1.8 million to all the hurricane relief efforts. Synergy! That's pretty powerful. It's important to me that we heal the nations through LifeGate Church. It's important to me that we take toilet paper. It may not mean much to you, but let me see you go without toilet paper for a couple days. You'll be walking like this, man. I don't know why I just thought that, but that was pretty funny. Okay. Because we're a generous church, we're not trying to come here being entitled to nothing. Well, they sat in my chair. It ain't your chair. It belongs to the bus. Right? Belongs to the bus. I don't like the color of the stage. Why is it black? Because black's the coolest color. It represents a heart that used to be, but comes in contact with Jesus, and you get radically changed. Not really, I just made that up, but that was pretty dope. Listen, we don't give money around here and then try to manipulate the conversation to decorate the way you think we ought to decorate. Because you ain't giving it to me. You're giving it unto the Lord. I told on Elder Tig in first service, because he had said something to me a couple years ago. He said, man, everything I do around here, Pastor, I do it unto the Lord. And I said, man, I appreciate your heart. And that's how we should all be. That's biblical. Your giving shouldn't be, oh, I want Pastor to see how big of a donor I am. Your heart's wrong. Your heart's completely wrong. Because to be honest with you, I don't know what people give. Unless you're on the platform, on the leadership team, I just want to make sure they're tithing. It's none of my business what you do between, is that true, honey? If Rachel was here, she would tell you, because she's on our board as well. I don't look at the offering and say, oh, I wonder what Mike and Katie gave. That's none of my business. See, some of y'all thought I was in there like in an office somewhere counting the beans. Like, oh, they're not giving. Oh, I'm not going to be nice to them because they only gave $5. I don't do that. So that's manipulative. And that's not what I do. So we are a generous church. So I want to tell you the story because it just happened. I know, I'm sorry for our first time service and Wednesday night service, all you that were in those two services, because you're going to hear it again. But Monday, Jesus, I call him Jesus when he's here, because I like to tease him and tell him, Jesus is finally in the house. He's like, oh, Pastor, you're so funny, you know. And so he's going to come to church eventually. I'm going to get him too. And so he laid the flooring in here. He laid the flooring out there. He laid the flooring in part of the offices. And I wanted him to lay the flooring in the administrative wing because it's almost done. And so I had him come and bid it, and he told me it was going to be $4,000. I was like, I got a rash. It broke out right here. I said, come on, Jesus. He goes, that's with the discount. And I was like, come on, Jesus, can't you help us out a little bit more? I'm like, won't he do it, Jesus? Won't he do it? He looked at me like I was crazy. He had no idea what I was talking about. And so that was on Monday. And I told my wife, we really need to, like, floor this because the offices can't all be brought over to this location until there's flooring because we don't want to work around all that, you know, because it's filthy. I said, man, we just got to trust God. On Wednesday morning, Pastor Westlake from Shetfield Life Center, I don't know if y'all know who that is. He pastors that small, struggling church down in the city. I'm kidding, of course. And so God's blessed him. He's got an awesome legacy. His dad has started the church there and is very well known in the city and around the world. Actually sits on the Bible College board for Pastor Parsley. It's kind of cool how things are connected. And so he texted me and said, hey, man, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm at the church right now getting ready for tonight. He said, well, I really had you on my heart this week, and I really feel like I need to help you with something. Is there anything I can help you with? And I'm like, I sent him the emoji back. I was like, I said, that's a loaded question, man. I was like, because I'll be in a building project for the next year. And he's like, well, he goes, I feel like I'm supposed to give you $3,000, up to $3,000. Do you need like $1,000, $2,000? And so I text him back in capital letters. We will use every penny of $3,000 to floor. Now, listen. Let me show you. Let me teach you about the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. Not this Mission Sunday, but the Mission Sunday before. Y'all remember when Hurricane, it was Irma. Y'all remember when it hit Orlando? Y'all remember when it hit Orlando and Puerto Rico and all that, our precious people there? And so my heart was broken because my friend, Pastor Jonathan Miller, they had to close their church down for their Sunday service and their midweek. And so because I'm a pastor and my heart breaks for the church when something goes wrong like that, I know that they still have to have money to come in to pay for the light bills, to pay for the staff salary. The church must still go on. And so my mindset was, God, let us help him some way. And so our missions giving for not this past one, but the one before, went to Pastor Miller and New Beginnings Church in Orlando, Florida. And that was $1,000. And so when Pastor Westlake told me that, immediately the Holy Spirit reminded me and told me, you took care of my son's house down in Orlando. And because you took care of my son's house down in Orlando, I'm about to make somebody else take care of your house. You see, because we're a generous church, we reap where everybody else isn't. And in a dry and thirsty land of independence, we will rise. So what is $55,000? So what is $220,000? So what is $1 million complex that we're going to build out here in the field? If God's in it and we're a generous church, he can make a billionaire walk through the door and write a check. You will reap, LifeGate Church, what you sow. Somebody say, we're generous. I only got 5 minutes. I got to hurry. Okay, everybody stand up. Get your giving ready. We haven't done that just yet, and we are a generous church. We at LifeGate Church ask you to give 3 different things. Number one, your time. Right? We ask you to give your time. We live in a generation where millennials think that they come to church once a month, they're being faithful to a church. Let me just fix your bad thinking. That's not faithfulness. How many of you work all day on Wednesday? My hand's lifted. I'm blown away because like I'm gonna pick on some people. I know Josh and Chop personally put in ungodly hours, like they almost not saved hours, but they come to everything. Amen, somebody. Because it matters to them to be generous with their time. Amen. And I've told them. I told Alex this morning. I told Alex to go home today after first service. He was throwing up trying to serve. I'm like, bro. Listen, I love you. Go home. Because I don't want nobody else sick. We believe in healing, but we also believe in wisdom, so go home. I was like, Father, in the name of Jesus. I Elvis'd him. I was like, Father, in the name of Jesus. It's like, you stay over there. We ask you to be generous with your time. Number two, we ask you to be generous with your talents. The fact of the matter is, I don't have everything in me to fulfill the vision that God gave us at LifeGate Church. I would love to have a fine arts department that was like freestyle dancing during service, had a dance troupe of some kind, lyrical dance, but y'all don't want to see me do that? I mean, that's about all I know. I can pop a little bit, but you know, I can't like Justin Bieber or nothing, you know. Please don't ask to do something that you say you have a talent in and everybody knows around you, you know, it's not there. Why is church the only place we're supposed to suffer at a talent you don't really have? I mean, for real, right? I can sing. We know you can't sing. Your mama's just being nice to you because it's your mama. Oh, baby, you can sing. You can't. She's lying to you. Hello? Somebody said to me, I can't do anything because I'm introverted. Well, you would be a perfect candidate to run a camera, to run the switcher, do media or sound, right? Come on. But see, I can't run a camera, run media, run sound while I'm up here preaching. So if we all come together and do our part, synergy. I got 3 minutes. Time, talent, and number three, we shall be generous with our tithing. Right? Tithing is 10% of your income before Uncle Sam, Visa, MasterCard, Sprint, Jordans, Ford, BMW, house, pool, whatever stuff you got. Right? Somebody said to me, John, one time, I can't afford to tithe. I said, but you're wearing like a $400 outfit. You're literally wearing what belongs to God. Right? I can't afford to tithe, but I just bought a pair of Jordans at $150. I can't afford to tithe, but I just bought me a brand new car and I'm gonna license and plate it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. A lot of times we can't afford to tithe because we don't manage our money because we haven't got a control of us. That's why we don't tithe. Right? So my question to you today is, will you be a member or will you be a spectator? Because members, all hands are on deck. They're giving of time, talent, and their tithe.